morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yom Vamos. Daf Chaf Gimel. We're back on Chaf Alf Amud Beis. We're behind, as we mentioned yesterday, but okay. Let's see. Let's go. We're in the middle of Shneas. We're going to finish the topic of Shneas for today, and then we'll move on to the next mission, next Mud, next Sugya. Topic of Shneas is a very difficult topic in that basically we're the Chachamim. The Torah provides for us a certain number of relatives that are arayos, that are considered related enough where bia with any one of them would violate a first of all nisim in the Torah if done intentionally in nisar kares. On certain circumstances, a misas beisdin, and for all the arayos, almost all the arayos, so the child becomes a mamzer. Notable exception would be nida. Nida is a Issa Kares, but at the same time, the child does not become a mamzer. The Chachamim goes there. The Gemara yesterday, back on Chafaf from an Aleph, Gemara quoted a number of psukim in terms of why the Chachamim in this particular arena of halacha felt it appropriate to be goes there. We had a Gemara quoted a number of psukim yesterday, but the Chachamim were goes there and added a number of women to the list. What we saw yesterday was our first brisa. There are really two brisas that speak to who's added to the Arayos Min HaTorah. One brace is located in Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, which we did yesterday, and the other brace is coming up momentarily on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, the top of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. That's the brace of Rabbi Chiya, which is going to add some more. Let's quickly recap. What we learned in the first brace yesterday is that there were eight women that were added by the Chachamim in addition to the Arayos in the Torah. So just as a simple summary, so grandparents are not Arayos Min HaTorah. One's not allowed to have relations with his mother and with his wife and with his father's wife, but grandparents Min HaTorah are mutter. So the Chachamim went up a generation. The Chachamim said that your grandparents, all four of them, meaning your mother's, when I say four, by the way, obviously we're talking about women, but meaning your mother's mother or your mother's father's wife. Okay, so those are two. Your father's mother and your father's father's wife. Okay, so those are the four grandparents, if you will. Two going down from you, meaning the Torah prohibits your daughter-in-law. The Chachamim added your son's daughter-in-law and your daughter's daughter-in-law. And then from there, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then 7 and 8 is your uncles. Now the Torah only prohibits your father's brother, and only your father's brother if they're paternal brothers. But the Chachamim added your father's. I'm sorry. When I say your father's brother, by the way, I hope I was clear. I wasn't. Your father's brother's wife, right? Well, you would call your aunt. But the Torah only prohibits your father's brother's wife only if it's a paternal brother. The Chachamim added even if it's a maternal brother, and the Chachamim added your mother's brother's wife. Okay, is that true if it's both paternal and maternal? Stay tuned, because that's, I think, going to be the first thing we're going to be discussing today. Okay, those were the shneos that were added in the brisa. Rav said that of those shneos, some of them go continuously up and some of them go continuously down. So in the case of your grandparents, for example, they go continuously up. So in other words, ad infinitum, your grandmother, your great grandmother, et cetera, that goes continuously up. So even though we gave a finite number of in the brisa eight, let's say it's really more than eight. It's whoever goes up the line of the grandmother. Going down, your son's daughter-in-law, your grandson's daughter-in-law, your great-grandson's daughter-in-law. All those are shneos. What about your daughter's daughter-in-law? So, interestingly enough, that only goes down to your daughter's daughter-in-law. It doesn't go down more from there. And if you remember, that explained that very obscure line of Gemara that we saw yesterday, that the only reason why the Chachamim were gozer on Kalasso is because of Kalasso. Right? That was certainly one of the more vague lines that we saw yesterday in the Gemara. Okay. That was all by way of review. We are now in the Gemara Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, the Ibai Lahu. Eishes Achia Ha'emana Emahu. Okay, I told you this question was coming up. Here it is. Gemara wants to know now, we're asking about, is there a rabbinic decree on your mother's brother's wife when she is only your mother's brother through a mother, meaning it's a maternal sibling. So here you have basically two things that kind of dilute the erva. Number one, it's not your father's brother, it's your mother's brother, which the Torah doesn't prohibit. And number two, it's not even your mother's full brother, it's your mother's half-brother, only sharing a mother. So two things that may be diluting it, and maybe then that aunt is not even a shnia. That's the Gemara's question. So Minayev Mahu, and Eishes Achi Av Minayim, but Eishes Achi Aim Minayav, Deikat Sad Av. I'm sorry, the Gemara here just explained the question. Let me back up. Let me read that again. I apologize. Eishes Achi Aim Minayim Mahu. Eishes Achi Av Minayim, but Eishes Achi Aim Minayav, Deikat Sad Av, who digas Rubu Rabbanan. So maybe one can make the argument that in the case where it's your father's brother, even though they only share a mother, and it's your mother's brother and they share a father, at least there's paternity involved. But maybe in the case where it's your mother's brother, but it's not even your mother's full brother, it's your mother's maternal brother, so there's no paternity. Meaning it's not your father, it's not even it's your mother, and it's not even your mother's full brother, it's only a half a brother shared only with a mother. So maybe because there's no tzad av to it, so maybe the chacham and moran goes there, or demoloshna. Or maybe it makes no difference. Amar Safra, he gufa gzera, v'ana nekum v'negzor gzera l'gzera. So Rav Safra's original response to this question is, no. Meaning, look, shnios to derabanan, right? All these added relatives, they're all derabanan. And so now, you're going to add this as well. It's what would be classically known as a gzera l'gzera. It's a decree to a decree. Amar Rav, atukul alav gzera l'gzera ninu. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's true with a lot of these shnios. Emo erva lo. Your mother's an erva, emi mo shnia. And that means that your grandmother is a shnia, meaning the Torah doesn't prohibit your grandmother, your mother's mother, but the chachamim added it. The gazol em aviv, misham emi mo. Now, why would the chachamim go to your father's mother? Meaning, isn't that one step removed? The answer is yes, it is. In the world of shnios, okay, it's one step removed, but that's fine. Because the way we view, the way the Chacham Amar goes to Shnios, is not that we treat each relative in of themselves, but rather they're thrown into categories. For example, the Tama Maikulo Debe Ima Rabasi Karilei, because they're all grandma. Each one of them is grandma, abuela, babi, however you say in your family. But in other words, the Chacham Amar goes there, not on your mother's mother, but on the idea of grandmother, on the category of grandmother. So therefore, what difference does it make whether it's your mother's mother, your father's mother? It's grandma. So Eishes Aviv Erevav, Eishes Aviv Shnia. V'gazral Eishes Aviv Imam, Mishum Eishes Aviv. Another example where we have this idea, right? Your father's wife, that's an Erevam in a Torah. Your grandfather's wife, that's a Derabbanan. Now what about your grandfather, but it's not your father's father. It's your mother's father. What about his wife? Okay, that's also a Derabbanan. Isn't that also Gzera L'Gzera? And again, the obvious answer is no. V'tama Maikulu Debe Abba Rabba Karelei. No, because that's your grandfather's wife. And again, it's a category. What difference does it make whether it's your grandfather through your father or through your mother? Lamaisa, bottom line, is it your grandfather's wife? So the Chacham Amar goes their shnios on a categoric basis, not an individual basis. So Eishes Achi Av Mina Av Erva. So again, now all we're going to do is now we're going to apply to our question over here. So your father's brother's wife, and it's your full and it's a full brother. It doesn't even have to be full, but in other words, they share a father. It's a paternal brother. So that's an erva min haTorah. So now eishes achiyav min haEim shnia, v'gazal eishes achiyav min haAm, mishum eishes achiyav min haEim, v'tamemai mishum dekulu debei dodi karilehu. And also there, it's a category. Meaning, what were the chachamim interested there? Categorically, your uncle's wife. Period. Meaning, the shnia is that the Chachamim wanted to make sure that you never get married to your uncle's wife, the one that the Torah prohibits. Therefore, the Chachamim goes there on all your uncle's wives, regardless of why it is he's your uncle. Either it's your father's brother, it's your mother's brother, it's your father's paternal brother, it's your father's maternal brother. Well, father's paternal brother is Daraisa. But your father's maternal brother, it's your mother's paternal brother, who cares? It's your uncle. So the Chachamim goes there on the concept of uncles. Okay. Good. I understand that, but the Gemara over here just has a means of explaining why it's cool gzeirah achas. Very good. Mine. Okay, so now, what do we do? We deliberate. Meaning, and now the Gemara wants to know, okay, let's go. Let's get to an answer. Again, the question on the table is, it's your mother's brother's wife, but your mother's maternal brother's wife. Okay, so my Tashma dechias Rabbi Yehuda Bashila Amar Amrit Ben Maravi Koshem Nekeva Erva B'Zacher Gazral Ishto Mishum Shnia. So they have a statement in Eretz Yisrael, and the statement goes like this. If we were to take a woman who's an erva, and instead of looking at that woman, look at that same relative who's a man instead of a woman, his wife also will be an erva. So, if you will, I want to use the uncle as an example, but in other words, your aunt is an erva. So if we were to take that same relative, meaning instead of an aunt being an uncle, and his wife would also be an erva as well. Meaning, it's like, just to give a way of thinking about it, it's like ishto kegufo. Meaning, basically, when you look at a couple, you look at them as one entity. So if that relative were a female, she'd be an erva. If that relative would have been a male, well, his female component, meaning his wife, also will be an erva. It's a formula. But as the Gemara is about to point out, it's not an absolute. No, it's not even close. The Amar Rava Klalahu, Rava says that's so not true. Chamoso erva, because let's try this out. Let's plug in this formula. So let's go to your mother-in-law. So your mother-in-law, that's an erva, right? It's your wife's mother. That's the Torah prohibits that. So Aisha is chamiv muterizba. Meanwhile, your father-in-law marries another woman. Eventually, I mean, obviously not now, she's a married woman, but eventually, upon death or divorce, she's mutter to you. So, right, that we just did the formula and it didn't work. Bas chamoso erva. Well, let's do this again. Your mother-in-law's daughter, that's an erva, otherwise known as your wife's sister. So ben chamoso muteris. But meanwhile, the son of your mother-in-law, so I'm sorry, Aishas. I knew I missed an important word over there. Aisha, yeah, correct, correct. It didn't work out of my mind also. Aishas ben chamoso muteris. And meanwhile, the wife of your mother-in-law's son is mutter. So another example where the formula doesn't work out. Bas chama, the erva, the daughter of your father-in-law, that's an erva. Again, it's your wife's sister. But meanwhile, Aisha's ben chama buteris. But meanwhile, if I took a son of your father-in-law and had a wife, she would be mutter to you. Chargaso erva, your stepdaughter is an erva. But meanwhile, Aisha's chorgo muteris. But again, your stepson, who has a wife, eventually she would be mutter to you. Bas chorgaso erva. The daughter of your stepdaughter is an erva. Right? Torah says, don't take a woman, don't take her daughter, and don't take her granddaughter. So the daughter of a stepdaughter is an erva to you. Erva min haTorah. And meanwhile, Aisha's ben chorgo muteris. But meanwhile, the ben chorgo, the son of your stepdaughter, who married a woman, she's mutter to you. So the truth of the matter is, the Gemara gave us a great rule, and meanwhile, the Gemara noted three exceptions to that rule. So therefore, look, we have a rule, we have to apply it to something. What are we going to apply it to? So my love, lasu yeshus achi ha'em and ha'em, techosham nekeva erva, bezachar gazru, isha misham shniya. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll apply it to our question. Of your uncle, meaning your uncle's wife, meaning your aunt is an erva, and your uncle's wife also is going to be an erva, and it's irrespective of how he's your uncle, meaning if it's your father's brother, it's your mother's brother, it's your mother's maternal brother, it doesn't matter, meaning it's your uncle's wife. Okay, so the Gemara says by applying the rule formula, which quite frankly we have no other place to put it to apply it. So in that such a scenario, the conclusion is that your uncle's wife is going to be prohibited. She'll be a shnia, even if it's your wife's brother, and even if it's your wife's maternal brother. Okay. Maishnahani. So the Gemara says, okay, can I ask you now a very simple question? We just gave a whole list of relatives who were mutter. So why should it be that your uncle's wife is now going to be a shnia? But the Gemara gives a very distinct answer. A very good definition. So ha bechad kiddushin mekarav lehani adi ikatrei kiddushin la mekarav lehu. So the Gemara says here's a big idea behind shniyos. When the Chachamim said that a shniyos asur to you, it's because they're related to you only through one marriage. But when we described all these other scenarios, the only way they were related to you is through two marriages. Think about it. Use any one of these examples, right? Your mother-in-law's son's wife. Okay? Your mother-in-law's daughter is prohibited to you. Okay, but that's your wife's sister. your mother-in-law's son's wife. So now, how connect the dots. How do you get from you to her? So first of all, it's one marriage. It's you and your wife. And then it's a second marriage. It's your brother-in-law's wife. So that's a second marriage. So basically, the Chachamim drew the line at two marriages. Or I should say, rather, they drew the line at one marriage. Meaning, if it's one marriage to get from you to her, and they're related in any one of the ways we described, so fine. So that's a Shnia. But if it takes two marriages to get from you to her, so the Chachamim are going to go to the Shnias. Okay. That's they're right. That the Gemara says is a distinction in terms of when the Chachamim were goes there versus not. Shach levra misharsha mitusnaya. Sounds like Tunisia, but okay, close. So shach levra misharsha mitusnaya l'rav papilem den rabbein eishes achi ha'av. Eishes achi avi ha'av. V'achos avi ha'av mahu. Okay, next question. Next question is going to tackle grandfather's wife is a Shnia. That we already established. Your great uncle's wife, thank you. It's your grandfather's brother's wife and your grandfather's sister. Okay? Two more women that we're tackling right now. So in terms of question whether they are a Shnia or they not considered a Shnia. Mid lamata erva lamala nami gazrube. Now, if you go down generations, so that is included as an erva. What do we say going down? Going down, we said the kalaso, the daughter-in-law is an erva. Bas kalaso, meaning we're already going two generations down in order to get to an erva. So question is now, when the chachamim goes to shnia, do they also go to the great uncle as well? So odilma ha'is palik darasa, or maybe no, maybe it's a different generation. So the gemara says mahein ma heishios v'loka chashul ba'adayim. So the Gemara says, okay, well, look, the Gemara says, I'll make a very simple observation. We quoted a braisa yesterday's daffin, chafal from an aleph. And your great uncle's wife and your grandfather's sister were not included. What does that tell you? It's not a shnia. So the Gemara says, tana v'shayer. So the Gemara says, okay, well, the braisa didn't give us all the shnias, which I know sounds strange, meaning a braisa dedicated to teaching us what the shnias are, and the braisa is an incomplete braisa. So the Gemara says, "My shayva high shire." Question, classic question of the Gemara. Well, you can only make an argument of incomplete only if there is a whole bunch of things that were left out. But if one and only one relative were left out, that's not an incomplete. So that's just simply they were left out. So the Gemara says, "My shayda high shayer shayer shnias to be Rebbe Chia." So the Gemara says, "Well, we didn't get to the second brisa; we're about to get to it, and that is shnias to Rebbe Chia." There's a whole group of women. Okay, not a whole group, another six, but another group of women that were not listed in the original brisa. So the Gemara says, "Okay, that's so we can now make the argument that just because it wasn't the first brisa doesn't mean it's not a shnia." It's right. It's only one marriage to get there. Meaning, it's your great uncle. Your great uncle is a blood relative, and it's his wife.
Just explaining the formula to other.
Right. Amemar says not a shnia. Okay, one is allowed to marry his great uncle's wife and his grandfather's sister. So Amalei Rav Hillel Rav Ashi l'didich hazil shnias mar bered Ravana. So Rav Hillel says to Rav Ashi, no, I saw a list of shnios found in the house or in the yeshiva of Marbury de Rabbana, and Uksiva Shitzre Lisura, and they had a list of 16. Now, my love, now 16, how do we get to the number 16? My love, Tamna de Masnisa, so 8 from the original Brisa, and then Shizta Be Rabbi Chia, 6 of Rabbi Chia, which we haven't even seen yet, but trust me, there's 6, and then Ma'anach Tarte. And then we're going to add these two, meaning your great uncle's wife and your grandfather's sister. So that gets us to 16. Hashitzrei, Latamech Shitzrei, Havian Da'i Kaishas, Achia Imena Av, De Pashin Leisur. So the Gemara says, well, you know, didn't we just conclude that your uncle's wife is going to be prohibited, even though it's your mother, brother, even though it's your mother's maternal brother, brother's wife? And that was added, and wouldn't that make it 17? The Gemara says, no, halokasha. The Gemara says, no, that's not difficult. No, in terms of accounting, you don't count that as another erva. That is one erva, meaning that's your aunt. That's your uncle's wife. And so, it would be categorically the same as saying your brother's maternal, your father's maternal's brother's wife. That would be the same thing as saying your mother's paternal brother's wife, your mother's maternal brother's wife. It's all one category. So the Gemara says, v'hashitzri. So the Gemara says, v'hashitzri, v'hamikom akom le'didi chazyalan d'ksiva le'yisura. So the Gemara says, okay, now back up. We go again. The question on the table is that there are 8 in the first brisa, there are 6 in the Rabbi Chiya's brisa, which we haven't seen yet, that's 14. There's 2 more, so who are those 2 more? So again, the Gemara goes back to the argument of, it must be your great-uncle's wife and your grandfather's sister. So the Gemara says, Amar lei v'letameich, yihava kasav le'tera, mihavi samacht alayhu. So the Gemara says, okay, well, let's touch on a more fundamental issue. I'm happy you saw a list. And let's say the list told you that it was mutter. Would that have done it for you? Meaning, would you have relied on that? So, Demar Berei Derabana Michas Malayo. Question. Did Mar Berei Derabana, I know you saw it in his yeshiva, in his base medrash, but did he sign off on it? Meaning, what you found is a list. Hashtanami Dixiv Lisur, La Mar Berei Derabana Chas Malayo. So, Gemara says, look, when all said and done, okay, you saw a list. Okay. La Mar Berei Derabana Chas Malayo. Okay, he didn't sign off on it. Good. All right. So the first question of your uncle's wife. So the Gemara was poshik. The Gemara resolved that question, and that will always be prohibited. That's always a shnia, even if it's your mother's brother's wife, and even if it's your mother's maternal brother's wife. Fine. That the Gemara concluded. These two questions, the Gemara did not arrive at a conclusion. So the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch says in these two cases, they would be mutter. Okay, which, again, just think about what we're talking about. We're talking about your great uncle's wife, your grandfather's sister. These are, right.
The prophet doesn't apply them.
Well, no, they're, what do you mean? Which?
Because the
Shulchan
says that
if up to,
it has to be two marriages.
Right, but this is only one marriage. Okay,
so
but... Well, no, the Chachamim were just explaining that if it's two marriages, it's always going to be... No, just because it's one marriage doesn't automatically yield a shnia. But if it's two marriages, for sure it's not going to be a shnia. Okay, Tanita Bei Rabbi Chiya. Okay, often spoken about, but now we get to see it inside. And now we get to the Braisa Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya's Braisa is going to add another 6. How can you add more? The answer is very simple. We're just going to go now to the next generation. Meaning the original Braisa only covered... You, your parents' generation, your grandparents' generation, so if you will, 1 and 2 generations above, and 1 and 2 generations below. We talked in the we talked about your son's daughter-in-law and your daughter's daughter-in-law. Okay, and now in this brisa, what we're going to do is add, and the addition over here is now going to simply go up and down another generation. So you're talking now... We're talking about great-grandparents. We're talking now about great-grandchildren. Okay, so, Debei Rabbi Chiya, Shlishi Shebebno Ushebebito. So we're going to be adding over here, in Rabbi Chiya's Braisa, a third generation going down for your son and for your daughter. So the, and... Right. Ushebeben ishto, ushebebas ishto. And also the same thing with your wife. Meaning the Torah prohibits your wife's daughter and your wife's granddaughter. The Chachamim prohibited your wife's great-granddaughter. Revi'i shebechamav ushebechamoso shnia. And then going up from your wife, meaning the Torah prohibits your wife's mother and your wife's grandmother, the Chachamim prohibited your wife's great grandmother. Okay, so I'm being aware of the fact that this is hard to imagine that this would ever come about. But okay, those are the additional 6 that were added by Rabbi Chiya. So again, dropping down from you, it would be your great granddaughter, both from your son and from your grandson, from either grandson. And then going to your wife's family, your great granddaughter through her,
and your great-grandmother through her. Okay, on both sides. So two going down from you, two going down from your wife's side, two going up on your wife's side, and all three of those categories in three generations. Okay, so that yields another six. I'm the Rebbe Lerav Ashi. Maishna lamata de kachashiv le leishto. Maishna lamata de lo kachashiv le leishto. So the de lamata de lo kachashiv le leishto. So the Gemara says now when going from your end, we only go down. From going from your wife's end, we go up and we go down. So lamala. I'm sorry. So the dalok kachashav leishto lamala diisur mikoach ishto kasei kachashav le lamada diisur elam mikoach ishto kasei lo kachashav la. So the Gemara says, well, when in terms of going up, so it comes mikoach ishto, comes from the strength of your wife, so therefore it's counted. In terms of going down, so and sorry, in terms of you, it's not from the strength of your wife, so therefore we only go down, we don't go up. So the Gemara says, okay, but the son of your wife, the daughter of your wife, where the issur is generated from your wife, and it's not counted. I did the tanish shlosh doros lamata diday v'lo chashva tanana migimel doros lamata dida v'lo chashva. So the Gemara says, fine. Look, it's just in terms of symmetry. It works out that from your wife's side, it's going straight down. It's going straight up. Amle Rav Ashi Rav Kahana Shnios de Bei Rabbi Chiya Eishlam Hefsek O Ein Lahem Hefsek. Okay, now remember, in the original braisa that we quoted yesterday, we said that Rav had a tradition that of those four of them, although he only identified three, four of them are going to go continuously up ad infinitum, and four of them are going to go continuously down. That was Rav. So now the Gemara wants to know, what about Rabbi Chiya's additional shniyos? Are they going to continuously go down? Are they going to continuously go up? Tashma d'amarav, the Gemara says, d'alanashim yeshlam hefzik v'sulau. The Gemara says, go back to the statement to Rav. Rav only counted four. So dilma ki kamarav lahim asnista. So the Gemara says, okay, but that doesn't mean anything. That just simply means Rav was addressing the first braisa. Rav may simply not have been addressing this braisa. Tashma shlishu revi intre lo. So the Gemara says, well, look at this braisa. This braisa only goes three and four generations. So the Gemara says, "Dama mishlisha ve'elach meriviyah ve'elach." So the Gemara says, "Well, no. It just simply means that's a starting point. Meaning, it could be that from your wife, shlishi meaning three and down. From your wife, four and up." Okay. Amalei Rav LeRav Nachman. Okay. Yeah. Let's throw a period over here. Fine. Okay. That's it. That's the end of shnios. I mean, the end of shnios. Okay, but that really takes us to the end. Okay, and just in terms of a summary statement, so we have now really 16. 16 is a good way to look at it. There are 16 relatives who the Chachamim added on in addition to the Yisurim in the Torah. Right, the Yisurim in the Torah is daughter, daughter-in-law, wife's daughter, wife's granddaughter, wife's mother, wife's grandmother, your mother, your aunt, but limited though, in the Torah, only your father's brother's wife, and only your father's paternal brother's wife, and then the Chachamim added on. In the first braisa that we saw in Chafal from an Aleph, the Chachamim added an additional eight. Four are grandparents, two daughter-in-laws, and an aunt. An aunt on your father's side, and two aunts on your mother's side. Okay, that's the additional women added. And then the braisa of Rabbi Chiya went another generation, meaning the original braisa only went to your grandparents and your grandchildren's generation, and then the braisa of Rabbi Chiya went a generation even beyond. For yourself, that would include your great grandchildren, and for your wife's family, that would include her great grandparents and her great grandmothers and her great granddaughters. Okay.
Was it also accepted by
Shofar? Right, yeah, the Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya Shnios are also totally accepted.
Accepted. The eight wasn't accepted, you say. There was
no, the eight, no, all this. Meaning the eight plus the six. The only thing left for, which the Gemara left undetermined,
was your grandfather's, your great uncle's wife. That was left undetermined by the Gemara, and your grandfather's sister.
So they're all prohibited then.
Right. What? No, but short of that, everyone else is prohibited. All of them are accepted shnios. Okay, before we start the next Gemara, just one quick word of introduction. Okay, the term born again. Okay, it's been taken away from us. Okay, let's take it back. Okay, it's our term. When you're born again, that means that you convert, and when you convert to Judaism, so you are born again. Okay, you are you're a new entity. The Gemara is going to use strong language in just a moment. You're guf chadash. You're a totally new entity. And as a result of that, that means that your mother's not your mother, your sister's not your sister, right? You have no relatives. You now have entered into the world a totally new legal entity. And so therefore, it's strange, but here's how the conclusion could work. Let's say you have a brother and your sister that convert to Yiddishkeit. So I'm not talking genetically, I'm just talking halachically. They can marry. Now, that's not the halacha, by the way. I'm prefacing. But in theory, though, why not? Meaning, they're born of the same mother and the same father, but when they converted now, they're totally new legal statuses. And so therefore, the mother and the brother and the sister can marry. Okay, and to make it even stranger, you can have a son and a mother who convert, and again, they're not married, they're not legally connected anymore, and so therefore they can marry. So the Chachamim said, even though that's true, what I just said is correct, but can you imagine... Right, you're going to now look. You're Ben Noach. Let's even have a utopian world where he's a good Ben Noach, right? Observing the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Noach, but he wants more. So what is he going to do? He's going to take on Yiddishkeit, and now he'd be allowed to marry his sister. Right. When I was a Ben Noach, right? I had restrictions. Now, right? I'm living large. I can marry my relative. I know this is not something that people generally tout as being, you know, easier, but still, in other words, it is strange. So therefore, the Chachamim legislated a rabbinic law specifically for the ger. And the law is that even though, according to the strict letter of the law, you'd be allowed to marry a relative, but we don't want to say, banu mikedusha chamur lekedusha kala. We never want the convert to say, life was easy as a non-Jew. I'm sorry, life was more difficult. Sorry, other way around. Life is more difficult as a non-Jew. Life is easy as a Jew. So the Chachamim therefore legislated that even though, according to strict letter of the law, you would have been allowed to marry your sister, but we don't want the guy to now come forward and say, oh, come on, this is easy. Becoming a Jew is easier. So it's the terminology we'll see in the Gemara is banu mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala. Come from a stricter sanctity to what is now a lighter sanctity? Okay, so the Chachamim goes there. And the question now on the table is as follows. We just become acquainted with the Shneels, the secondary Surin. When a Ger converts, so can he marry his aunt? Not his father's brother's wife, but another aunt. Can he marry an aunt? Meaning, are the Shneels going to be prohibiting him as well? That's the question on the table. So let's see the question inside. So, That's the question where the Chachamim goes to Shnius when it comes to a convert. Shneos mi baye, and the answer Gemara gives is a very definitive answer. Nope. Because look, even the erva herself to the convert is only a din derabanan to begin with. So basically, you're going to extend a din derabanan on an already din derabanan, classically known as gzera l'gzera. And so therefore, no. Amar Rav Nachman ger mahal ve'asal yadam neim abu milsa. So as long as we talked about converts, so the Gemara says, let's make one more point, and that is, so let's say you have converts who are testifying, and they happen to be siblings. Now we know that if you have Jews who are siblings, so they cannot testify together. But over here we're talking about two converts; they're not related, even though they're biologically related, but halachically they're not related.
So if they come from the same mother, so we're really not going to take their testimony. But mina'av mi'idin l'chatzchila. But if they share the same father, so then l'chatzchila we're going to take their testimony. Obvious question. What's the difference? Meaning again, think about it. They're converts, which means they're born again. So they're not related. So what difference does it make that if we ask them, do you share the same biological mother? Oh yeah, we did. Okay, you know what? If you testify, fine, but we're not going to take your testimony. Share the same father? Yeah, we do. In that case, okay, you know what? Fine. We'll take it. What's the difference? So take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi explains. Yeah. So the Rashi says, lo ya'idu l'chatzchila, de korvas ein begerin korvahi, da vada imohi. Because they know exactly who their mother is. But when it comes to the father, take a look at one Rashi beforehand. No. You don't have to look at another Rashi. It's pretty clear from this Rashi. When it comes to the father, they're unsure who their father is. They may think that that's their father. They were told that that's their father, but it's unclear. It's unsure. And so therefore, anyway, Me'ikar Hadin, they're not related. From a legal standpoint. And they're really not, and we don't even know for sure that that's the father, so l'chatzchila they can testify. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, sorry, we did that already. So the Gemara says, no, I disagree. Even if we know that for sure they're biological siblings, the biological brothers, when they convert, can testify even if they share the same mother. And that means that we know that biologically they're siblings. U'mayishna me'arayos. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, doesn't that upset the idea that we just lay down, which is conversion's going to become easier? Well, that's strange. So the Gemara says, meanwhile, by Arayos, we legislated that they can't marry an Erva after they convert, even though according to strict law they can. And so what's the difference between Arayos and testimony? So the Gemara says, look, Erva l'chol masura, Eidos l'beizdin masura, v'gershin izgar k'kanshana l'dami. Gemara says, look, context. Context answers so many questions in life. When we're talking about Erva, Erva is applicable to everybody. Everybody's related to somebody. And so therefore, if they come into Yiddishkeit and they marry a relative, so then people are going to look at that and say, how do they do that? Right? We also have relatives. We can't marry our relatives. And so therefore, Arayos gives the impression, the very real impression that becoming a Jew for them became easier. But when it comes to Eidos, Eidos is strictly handed over to Beis Din. Beis Din is fully cognizant of this idea that Gershon is Gari Kekana no Adami. And so therefore, Beis Din is not going to then accept brothers just because they accepted brothers. Because they understand the basic difference between brothers who converted versus brothers who were born Jewish. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the sugya. And we are finished now with Shnius. We are now beginning a new sugya. And this sugya, quite frankly, is going to be a lot lighter. It'll be easier, if you will. And the basic idea is as follows. Yibum is going to be put in a situation where a brother dies, and he dies childless, and he has a surviving brother. Okay? The exemption from Yibum is that if he dies with a child. Okay. And now what we're going to be exploring in this next Mishnah is, to what degree does this brother or child have to have a full status in order to obligate or exempt the mitzvah of Yibum. That's it. That's our discussion. So the Mishnah starts off by saying a brother's a brother, and he may not be the best brother, and he may have significant deficiencies. It does not matter. If you have a brother, there's a mitzvah of Yibum. There will be not just a mitzvah of Yibum, but there will be a zikah, an attachment. So then in the event that you die, now your wife is going to be connected, bonded to the brother-in-law, and mikol makom, and it doesn't matter what kind of brother-in-law we're talking about. The only exemption, of course, would be is that if, let's say, the mother of this particular brother was either an Ovid Kochavim or a Shevcha, because then it's not your brother, which we will explore in the Gemara. Now, let's say you have a child. If you have a child, doesn't matter what the child's status is, if you have a child, that will exempt the mitzvah of Yibum.
We will explore that question later. And again, the only exception over here is if the child that you had did not come from a Jewish woman, came from a non-Jewish woman, so then it's not your child, and then that won't create an exemption of Yibam. So, mikomakom asui am I. Now, the Mishnah over here is speaking in vague terms. When the Mishnah says, it doesn't matter what kind of status we're talking about, who's on the edge over here? So the Gemara says, "Las amar aviyuda, las tuya mamzer." So the Gemara says, "We're talking about a mamzer, meaning your brother's a mamzer, your son is a mamzer. That's okay. It's not okay. What is okay is that from a from a brother standpoint, that's your brother. From a child standpoint, that's your child. Pshita achivu." The Gemara says, "I know it sounds like a chiddush, but the Gemara says I don't really see it as being a chiddush. It's pretty obvious. He's your brother." So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, look, where do we generate the halacha of brotherhood? We learned it from Bnei Yaakov. We did that earlier in the Masechta. So back on Yud Zayin. So, and none of the Bnei Yaakov are mamzerim. So the Gemara says, you know, now that you mentioned this is a havamina, that's a good havamina. So maybe it's true. So the Gemara says, "Kevin delin yibun, Mr. Niftar, mizakek na mizokek." Gemara gives a fundamental answer. Look, the mamzer cuts both ways. If the mamzer can create a patur, an exemption from the mitzvah of yibum, which we'll explain how we know that momentarily, so the mamzer is also going to create a hischaivus if that mamzer turns out to be your brother. So the mamzer can both be an exemption and an obligation. It's got to cut both ways. So the Gemara says that he's your brother for every halacha, including he will inherit you, meaning that if you die and you have no children, you only have a surviving brother, he will be your inheritor, even though he's a mamzer, and letamelo. And let's say he is a kohen. A kohen can only become tameh for his seven relatives. And so he can be mitame this brother who Kohen who has a poor yichus, he still can be mitame for his brother. Pshita achiv who sakata chamin oksiv kiim l'sheiro karov elav va'amamar sheiro zu ishto oksiv lo yitama bal ba'amav lehechalo. So the Gemara says that the Torah is a little bit ambiguous, more than ambiguous. Contradictory in terms of whether or not a husband Kohen can be metame for his wife. Indications are that he can, indications are that he can't. How do I resolve such a discrepancy? Gemara says it's very simple. Yesh bal she metame, yesh bal she ain't metame. Haketza metame hu lishto kshira, vein metame lishto psula. So the Gemara says, if the wife is a kosher wife, totally legitimate marriage, and she dies, husband, the Kohen husband, has a right to be metame for her. If his wife is a wife that he should not have married, even though the marriage is a marriage, he is not metame her. So now if I took that same idea and translated it to a brother, so the Gemara says, okay, that's the conclusion would be that if he's a ach pasol, so he shouldn't be metame for his kohen brother. So the Gemara says there's a big difference between those two cases. When a Kohen marries a woman he should not marry, let's say a Kohen marries a Grusha. So what does the Torah say? Even though the marriage is Chal, the Torah is telling him, you're currently violating a law. If he went to any Rav, he went to any Beis Din, they would say to him, you need to divorce that woman. You're violating a law in that marriage. So you need to divorce her. So there, the marriage is tenuous based on the fact that he needs to divorce her. If she died, so then he's not going to be metame for her because, quite frankly, that's a marriage that should not have been sustained. On the other hand, when you're talking about brothers, once you're a brother, that's it. There's no termination of brotherhood, right? You and your mom's a brother are brothers, period. No way out of that. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Parshas Mishpatim that describes how when a man has a child with a shivcha, so the child is not his.
Mishish lo ben mikoma kompoter, mikoma kom lasuyamam, raviu lasuyamam zer. The child's a mom there, so that'll create enough of an exemption from the mitzvah of yimam. My time, the makor, who bein lo ayin alav. Rashi points out the drasha over here is based on the yud. Meaning sometimes the Torah can write the word ein without a yud. Rashi cites a number of examples of where that's so, and the fact that the Torah uses the word uses a yud mean the ein could also be pronounced as ayin, meaning any child that has had is going to create an exemption from the mitzvah. V'chayev al makaso. Now, if the mamzer hits his father, he's going to be chayev. My kari coming as ibam chalosa or ba'osem masimach. So the Gemara says, now it happens to be that when the father's a Rasha, one is not liable, I'm going to say this clearly, one is not liable for hitting them, meaning not condoning, it's just simply not a capital crime for a child to hit a parent who is a Rasha. So kedamara pinchas mishmedra papa bosa tshuva hachanamika shosa tshuva. But the Gemara says, okay, that's true, but that's only when the father's a Rasha. If the father does tshuva, so the father is reinstated, and it therefore would present a capital crime for the child to hit his father. So the Gemara says, I understand tshuva. You could talk about tshuva for someone who has a mamzer. Once he has a mamzer, that's it. You're right? You can't fix it. So the Gemara says, it's true. You can't fix having had the mamzer. But you could regret. You could do tshuva. You're right. The mamzer is going to be unchanged. But it's still possible for the person himself to do tshuva. Okay. Okay. All right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow at the two dots. Okay, the rest of the daf is going to go much quicker, and hopefully tomorrow we'll make up some ground.